Sermon this early afternoon comes from Ezekiel chapter 34. Please turn with me there. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting with verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore. But I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. Therefore, they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Pray with me. God, our God, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that you speak to us with what is living and active. And we ask that you would penetrate our hearts now, that we would know you and understand you, that we would seek your face, and that we would know how to love you better, know how to love your people better, Lord, and to care for your flock. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having grown up in the 80s, I learned to love the TV show The Dukes of Hazzard. The Dukes of Hazzard, you had these redneck guys that lived out in the woods, and all they did was run from the police all the time and tear around on these back roads. Growing up watching that, as well as Knight Rider, I had the impression from all of this that driving was supposed to be fun. And driving was supposed to be exciting. And if it wasn't fun and if it wasn't exciting, obviously you weren't trying hard enough. So my brother and I, we worked hard on our back roads, driving around and flying around, always putting ourselves in danger. My brother came up with amazing stunts that you can do with a car. It was exciting and it was fantastic. Well, this continued even to the point when I got saved, and it continued up to the point where I got married. I was driving down this road on the way to church, a place called Devil's Den, which was a fantastic road to fly around on. And I was zipping, and my wife raised her voice, I think for the first time, to me, saying, I am pregnant, and you are putting us in danger. And the way my heart responded at that moment was, woman, this is like Eden all over again. You are trying to control me. Well, I've had to work on my attitude and work on my feelings, and that's really come to a head here at Eastvale. And one day I was about to leave and I was driving somewhere, and one of our old saints, Madge Adams, said, you be careful out there.
I said, all right. And she said, precious cargo, you know. And at that moment, I began to think of my wife, and I began to think of my children. And I recognized at that moment that driving wasn't necessarily supposed to be exciting. Driving wasn't necessarily supposed to be fun, and it's supposed to be this great adventure. But as I have driven and as I have traveled, I have a responsibility to care for those that God has given me. And as we look at this passage in Ezekiel, God lays this picture upon us. Shows that the shepherds are supposed to be doing this great work. The shepherds are supposed to be caring for his people and providing for them. But as the passage goes on, it gets to the point where it's not just us that have been supposed to do it. In the utter failure of God's people and the utter failure of the shepherds, God accomplishes, even Christ accomplishes, what you and I could never do. He does indeed gather the scattered. He binds up the broken. He seeks the lost. He strengthens the weak. And you and I, we get to see this. You and I, we get to be a part of this. As we are the instruments that God has chosen to bring his word. So the call for you this early afternoon is to be these instruments in Christ. Point your people to Christ continuously. See them healed. See them strengthened. See the lost found and the scattered brought back. To see the sick healed and the broken bound up. The first step as we move along, I call upon you to observe Christ's great affection and ownership of his people. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God. Surely, because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. It's a striking thing here and a terrifying thing. And it's what really made me go to seminary when a pastor told me that if you are going to preach, you have to recognize that you're messing with people's lives and you're messing with people's souls at that point. He told me that if I was going to preach, I had to go and I had to learn to handle the Word of God appropriately. And it was through the courses at seminary that I learned that I was actually laying hands on the bride for which Christ laid down his life. And this is more than I can bear. This is more than I can grasp. The stakes are so high. And for Christ, for God to speak in these terms here, he shows his affection by swearing by the highest level that he can. He swears by himself, says, as I live, declares. And the name here for God is Adonai Yahweh. He puts forth his covenant name. He announces when he declares. This is the word for declaring an oracle. In the strongest possible terms, he says, my sheep, I swear by myself, you have not cared for my sheep. And he looks and he gives the diagnosis. He looks on the people and he sees their sorrow and their misery and he sees their pain. And what we see happen, God gives the reason why this is taking place in Israel. The reason is the failure of selfish men. And this is now and always will be what we must guard ourselves against. Well, we see he describes the people here and describes the shepherds. And not only are they not caring for them, but they're killing them and they're eating them. As we look and as we can benefit from the people around us and benefit from the people within our congregations, our heart must be the nourishment of their souls, protecting them and loving them. It's in verses 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And they are in the dangerous position that we all find ourselves in, where we're more concerned about our own comfort than we are about going in and, as Dr. Pruto said, getting our hands in the wool, dealing with the misery, dealing with the brokenness, dealing with the sheep who have run away again and again. But we must remember and guard ourselves against the selfishness, remembering the calling that has been placed on us to care for this bride. Our next step is to grieve with Christ at the condition of His people. Verse 4, those who are sickly, You have not strengthened. The diseased, You have not healed. The broken, You have not bound up. Scattered, You have not brought back. Nor have You sought for the lost, but with force and severity, You have dominated them. See, God looks on His people. He looks at the flock, and what does He see? He sees people sick and weak. There's so much sorrow attached to the grief of sickness and the grief of His miseries that go to death. Most of us here have been close to a loved one on their deathbed. You know the sorrow and the misery. Most of us here have ministered to someone who has lost a spouse. Christ looks and He sees that sickness on His people. He looks and He sees them diseased. He looks and sees them broken. I'd remind you of the stomach churning sight of seeing a bone broken, seeing someone's limb out of joint and pointing the wrong direction. God looks on His bride. This is His diagnosis. He looks and sees them lost. Many of us have had the experience of being lost when we didn't have the time to be lost. You've been in the wrong place, but have you been this kind of lost? Have you been in the darkness of the city streets, where your life really was threatened? Have you been in that shadow where beastly people would come upon you and take advantage of you and do you or your family harm? We look here, and this is Christ's diagnosis of His church. And the heart that He would have us to have here, He says, what His people need is a gentleness. People coming, shepherds coming, with true compassion, with true mercy. And the work is to recognize the shackles that we ourselves have been in. These people who are lost, they're lost in their sins. These people who are broken, they're broken by their sins and broken by the sins of others. But the compassion and the gentleness that we must bring is the same compassion and gentleness that we have been shown in Christ. And this is our work as shepherds. Our next step is in verse 14. I call upon you to rejoice in Christ's great work feeding His people. In verse 14 He says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. Verse 15 and 16. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. You see, we are put in the place where we know we will see the church delivered. We know we will see the church rescued. The reality of what we see is a great salvation that takes place as Christ Himself becomes the good shepherd that cares for His people. This idea started up way back in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15. He blessed Joseph and said, the God, therefore, whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, is the one by whom the blessings of the church come. Blessings of the church come as we preach the gospel. In our pulpit, yes, but in our ruling as well as ruling elders. The miseries and the sorrows of our people, their shames and their pains are all answered in the gospel. As we display a God that has been so great, as we display a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep, this is our work. And this is our ministry. We see Christ's great work also in leading his people. It's not left over. It's not done at salvation. In verse 6, my flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. And then again, in verse 16, I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. And there it is. Now, point us to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. This is his great rescue accomplished. Salvation is Christ's great rescue accomplished. And I wouldn't have you left in a position where all you have to do is just give, and completely pour yourselves out. But the place that we must find ourselves in are these people who are themselves being nourished by the Good Shepherd. Where we are being strengthened. Where we are being bound up when we are broken. When we are being gathered when we have gone astray. You see, we are these people who are loved and blessed and cared for. We are these people who are rescued. We are these people who are saved. We are these people who have been given eternal life. And the great work that we have now, if we even dare call it a work, is to share what we've been given. To share this great salvation, to share this great rescue. So we find ourselves with Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And this call and this work looks exactly the same as it did in the Old Covenant. The call upon you as you have been nourished and loved and strengthened for you to strengthen the sick with the gospel. For you to heal the diseased with the gospel. For you to bind up the broken with the gospel. For you to gather the scattered with the gospel. For you to seek the lost with the gospel. And in light of the gospel that has been given to you, do all this with a gentleness and a meekness, taking the yoke of Christ upon you, for he is gentle, for he is humble in heart. Pray with me. God, we come to you and we confess our selfishness and our weakness. We confess all the crimes that we have committed and the ways that we have failed to lead your sheep. Renew us now and strengthen us now by your gospel. Be our heart's delight. Make your truth, your good news, our heart's delight. And may it touch every element of our lives and our devotional time towards you and our family worship and our corporate worship. And all of our work in caring for your people. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.